Please listen carefully.
And now, live from the Arboretum in McKinney, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, with two hosts who are frantically trying to figure out the logistics of a unicycle built for two, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
And today on the podcast, is this the penultimate one? We continue our series.
Yes.
Head of the Apocalypse. And I think this is the penultimate one, isn't it?
It is. We have one more after this, but this is the next to last.
I like just using the word penultimate. Makes me sound smart.
It's a good Scrabble word.
Penultimate.
Not the ultimate. The one before the ultimate.
It's funny. People use penultimate, but no one ever says ultimate. They use the pen part.
I guess because final is quicker to say. It's the final choice.
I guess so. Is there an ultimate? Is there one before this one? Is the one before the one before? Is there like a Christmas Eve of penultimate?
An anti-penultimate maybe? I don't know.
Wow.
I'm just going off suffixes now. But
no, no. Hot suffix talk brought to you by Assuming Positions Podcast.
Heard it here first.
You heard it here first and on one of those NPR word shows, I'm sure.
Oh, probably. But it is our penultimate episode. Next to last, we are doing mechanics.
Yes. Head of the Apocalypse, but we put an H, a silent H in front for alliteration purposes.
Yep.
We've been running through all our previous episodes. You can hear we've been building the crew we want in our bunker at the end of the world, at the apocalypse. We're talking more of a zombie slash robot slash kind of apocalypse you can fight against apocalypse, not really the asteroid apocalypse, because then, you know, whatever.
Yeah, then you just call Bruce Willis and it's all fixed. But we're talking about like Left 4 Dead, Walking Dead, Terminator, that sort of stuff.
Yes, that sort of stuff.
Robots, zombies, all that good stuff.
The action adventure type. So we've been through it. Now we're doing mechanics, and we kind of hit some mechanic stuff when we did our, which one was the MacGyver one that I picked MacGyver?
We did a build a sci-fi crew, and we did build a heist team.
I just picked MacGyver on this one.
Oh, for Nerd.
That was for Nerd. That's yes. Right. That was for Nerd. So a mechanic technically is a car nerd or a gearhead.
Yep.
It's a version of a nerd.
Yep.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
So there's technically some crossover there. I was trying to find, I don't know about you, but to me, MacGyver, sure, he can do mechanic stuff, but he's more of a gadgeteer, more of a, you know, he's MacGyver. He can do anything.
Yeah, there's an aspect of mechanic where they're a nerd that just happened to take shop class instead of like engineering or computer science. You know, they went left on the branch instead of going right on the branch.
So exactly.
MacGyver definitely went down the science branch. I'm with you.
Yes. But as you were saying, though, we have done a lot of these build a crews for various different things. And a lot of times mechanics show up in those as well. So we've had some crossover. We're getting to the point where I don't think we can pick mechanics anymore.
Nope. We need to come up with some different groups so we avoid overlap.
Yeah. And to that point, if any of our wonderful listeners out there have any suggestions of build a crews, let us know and we'll slot that in the future. A lot of these have come from fan suggestions, so we really appreciate that.
We do, and it's always fun to do it. I mean, this is one of our favorite things, just pick people from pop culture to be on your team. I love it.
Yeah, all right. So, mechanics, gearheads. Mikey has a coin that has two gearheads on it, and he always calls gearhead.
Here we go. I'm flipping it now. Gearhead.
It's head.
It's gearhead.
let me see that coin, Mikey.
Nope.
He never lets me see it.
Nope. It's back in my pocket.
Yep. He puts it in his pocket, and then he dares me to go get it.
No, but you've been talking a lot, so it's my turn to talk. So I'm going to kick it off with third picks for mechanics. As you, if you're following along by now, you know third picks are the fun picks. But this one is just pure awesome for me. This is just, I want to see this character in all the movies that they want to put this character in. And it is a mechanic, and it fits because it's a mechanic at the end of the world. For my third pick, I pick Furiosa from Mad Max, played by Charlize Theron.
Oh, wow.
Specifically Mad Max Fury Road, the new one done by George Miller, 2015. But for her, she's the best. She's has cool face paint. She has a shaved head. She has a metal arm that's almost a robot arm. She's driving a semi truck full of gasoline across the wasteland trying to save the bad guys' wives from being, like, you know, all the scary stuff. She's taking them to a safe haven. But this is the character. This is the end of the world we're talking about, like, where gasoline is sort of the... is the commerce, is the commodity, and nothing else matters. So now it's just cars and desert for the end of the world for some reason. But Charlize Theron is just is one of the coolest characters in this newest movie, which I'm a huge fan of. I don't know. I mean, take it or leave it, I guess, for some people. But she's just cool. She fixes up trucks. She fixes up guns. She fixes up her metal arm. There's really nothing she can't mechanic. So third pick, Charlize Theron.
I like how you use mechanic as a verb. There's nothing she can't mechanic.
It's true. She's half mechanical.
Now, you talking about Mad Max made me think of something, and this is off the spur of my head.
Yep.
So bear with me. There's no research behind this. But this, I was thinking about this recently, and you saying Mad Max made me think about it again. There was a board game that I used to have when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I don't think it was branded Mad Max, but it was based on basically that kind of world where you had like trucks and cars and motorcycles and helicopters.
Okay.
And the point was to get the truck to a destination, protect it.
Mm-hmm.
And the board was just basically a, like a road, a fury road perhaps. and you're just driving up it and you kept going to like the other side of the board. Once you got to the end of the board, you'd move it back to the front again, kind of like Pac-Man coming around the,
oh, I got you. Yep.
The thing. And I don't know, you just made me think of that because Fury Road and the road, maybe it was called Fury Road. Maybe it was called something similar. I don't remember what it was called. I don't remember what it was. All I remember was I was a dumb kid and I was confused that in the game, the motorcycles had a higher movement point than the cars, because I didn't realize that the reason why motorcycles are faster is because they're lighter.
Yep.
And I thought that cars would be faster because they have four wheels and motorcycles only have two wheels.
That makes sense.
So like four-legged animals are faster than humans. That was my reasoning as a kid. I hope I was very young. So,
but that's perfect kid logic. It makes absolute sense. Two wheels is so fast. Four wheels is twice as fast. Absolutely. I'm with you.
Yes, but exactly.
Nope. They have the same gas tank. One is lighter, so therefore it can go farther.
Yes, I know.
Thanks,
physics.
Einstein.
I hadn't taken physics class yet. What do you expect? I was like, dumb kid. Anyway.
I hope you find out the name of that game, because I would that sounds perfect for like a one-shot for our game group, but that's the reason, yeah. I love Fury Road the movie is because it's essentially that same one-shot. The whole movie is just about getting a caravan of these women to safety, and things go wrong. So
yeah.
Point to Charlize Theron is that every time things go wrong, she prevails. So and doesn't let anybody give her guff, even Tom Hardy or weird immortal Joe, who looks like like Darth Vader, but Redux. I don't know.
And if anybody knows what game I'm talking about, hit us up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and we'll, I don't know, we'll talk about it.
We can do a playthrough. That'd be great.
All right. My third pick is technically a illegal pick because I picked it before, but as the only thing I could think of, I can't not pick this character. So I'm throwing it in third pick, and we've talked about it a million times. So, you know, let's talk about it again. I have to pick Kaylee from Firefly.
That was going to be my guess.
She's the best mechanic ever, and I can't not have her on my list somewhere. Now, granted, so I've picked her before. I picked her for when we did our spaceship crew.
Yes.
As the spaceship mechanic, because she's the best spaceship mechanic ever, in my opinion. But she would not be good in the apocalypse, though. She's actually not good for this, but I still needed to say, like, hey, Kaylee's awesome. And the reason why she's not good for this is she's terrible in combat. There's a whole episode where they like give her a gun and she like she just melts. She can't handle combat. She's too sweet. She's too nice. She's too sweet, and she would just be terrible in the apocalypse. Just that it shows that she's just not hard enough.
I get it. Combat and weapons are not in her wheelhouse.
No, not at all. At all. So that's evident if you're a fan of. I love her to death. So much. That's why I have to put Kaylee from Firefly on my list. But if you want to hear me wax poetic, go back and listen to our picks for our ship's mechanic engineer when we did Head of the Helm, I believe that one was, right?
Another H, yes.
Yes. But Kaylee has to be on my list. Sorry. If you tell me to select a mechanic, she's going to be on the list somewhere.
Oh, she's definitely a default when you think of the word. That's one of the characters that springs into mind because she has that perfect mechanic attitude of like, they'll complain about something being broken, but there's never a problem they can't fix. She's one of those characters. It's like, oh, well, this is out. All right, I'll get to it.
Yes.
And she uses the word twixt. I mean, that's great.
And shiny.
And shiny.
So that's it. That's it. See, that's just kind of like a, no, you can't, but I am, so you can't stop me. My podcast.
Hey, I like it. I appreciate you following the rules and bending the rules both in equal measure. That's exactly what this is for.
Exactly.
Oh, but Kaylee's the best. But I'm blanking on that actress's name.
Jewel State.
There you go. Thank you. Okay.
Yes.
Because she has a big social media presence. She's real good at like conventions and stuff. She's one of those.
Seems
like good people outside of just a good character as well.
Yes. She's a wonderful Canadian import.
Oh, Canadian. That explains it. So, okay.
Yeah. Much like Nathan Fillion. That's why he's awesome too, who's played Mal, the captain in Firefly. So
there you go.
I don't want to, no offense to us and all other Americans, but Canadians are nice until they put skates on.
True. Unless they're in the hockey realm. But then, like, actors, you got, like, Jim Carrey, Rick Moranis, Mike Myers. Ugh.
Yes.
Oh, crazy America's hat. Why are you giving us all the cool people for actors? We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Canada.
But, hey, even though it's a repeat, great third pick, I support it 100%. But we're moving along. We're on to second picks. So this is maybe in Mikey's wheelhouse. We'll see if it's in Kevin's wheelhouse. Have you seen the movie Drive starring Ryan Gosling?
Drive, Ryan Gosling. And no, I haven't seen that movie.
Okay, we're talking 2011, so a couple years ago.
I know who Ryan Gosling is, though.
There you go. Hey, if you should, because he's a sweetheart. Everybody has a slight man crush on Ryan Gosling because he's so cool. But one of the movies where he is the coolest is a movie called Drive. I would say his character name, but this movie is so cool that his character doesn't even have a name. It's just he's the unnamed driver.
He's a man with no name.
Yes. But even though his name is Driver, that's multifaceted because he's a man of many jobs. He is a stunt driver for Hollywood films, you know, to pay the bills. He's a mechanic at a local shop.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that shop, he actually gets jobs to under the table jobs to be a getaway driver for criminals and the mob.
Oh.
Ooh.
You could have almost picked him for your criminal element.
I could have.
Pick.
He could have been the gang member, but he's kind of like much like Clint Eastwood, the man with no name, I guess. He's more of the solo, like, I just do my work and help out other people, but I stay by myself kind of character.
So
but,
through this whole movie, no one ever says his name ever? No one ever says, like, hey, Tony, we got a job for you or anything?
Nope. Never.
What are they? They don't address. Oh, man, wow. I need to see it now just for that. I don't even know how you would write something and get away with that.
It is unusual, but to be fair, to give a little background on the movie itself, it is a noir movie. It is very stylistic. It's almost sort of art house. It's deliberately paced. It's a little explicit in its violence and language, kind of like a Goodfellas or a Casino. But it's just you're enthralled with this main character that's the driver, and you never learn his name, but you invest in his entire story without ever knowing his name. That's also, you know, power to Ryan Gosling just for being captivating by being silent on camera, but that's part of it.
He makes such interesting choices in the movies that he does. It's really diverse.
He seems to be one of those Hollywood actors that's like one for the paycheck and then one for me.
Right.
Every once in a while.
I'd almost argue that he might be, I mean, I'm not saying he's underrated, but I think that his, I don't know how to put it. I think that his movie star good looks might make some people not throw him in with how good of an actor he actually is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's good looking first, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, because sometimes we've talked before how sometimes, you know, some actors are just considered, you know, oh, this is a thespian,
yes.
You know, this fella here. And and then some are more movie star like. And I think some are more movie star like. They're not that much thespians. They're more of the marquee name, marquee face.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I don't know. I think Ryan Gosling's a little more than that. I think he might, because of some of the movies he's done, I think the heartthrob thing kind of overshadows it. But, you know, I've seen him in so many things that aren't that, and he's good.
I'm with you.
And it fits into, like, we've talked about it. We brought up Robert Pattinson. We brought up Daniel Radcliffe. Like, they could have been Twilight vampires and Harry Potter for the rest of their lives, but they also chose to do, like, weird art house, like, dramatic stuff, I guess, is the term or whatever. But it's that caliber of actor where it doesn't really matter how Hollywood or how indie you make them, they're going to deliver 100%.
Yeah.
And so I put Ryan Gosling in that category. That's why I'm picking him for number two. But for this character specifically, so one, he's a stuntman. Two, he's a mechanic. And three, not to give too many spoiler alert, take a drink. He can beat up and take care of any bad guy, like whatever means necessary. I won't get into the whatever means necessary because it's a PG-13 podcast, but specifically in Drive, it's really hard to put Ryan Gosling down. I'll say that much. So apocalypse times, end of the world, it wouldn't even faze him. He'd be quiet. He'd be reserved. He'd have that cool scorpion jacket that he wears in the movie that's real popular. There'd probably be a really cool synth soundtrack in the background because that was also popular for the movie, like kind of like Stranger Things type music. It'd be perfect all around. I'm gonna have him be my getaway driver and fix things that could go wrong. Hopefully nothing goes wrong, though. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. That's a good number two pick.
And if you haven't seen that movie, I definitely recommend it. It is a specific style. Like I said, it's an art house noir, but it's worth your time if you're in the mood for it.
Yes. All right. I'm flipping my two and three over, and I'm wondering which one I should go with.
Yep. There's no wrong answer.
Which one I should go with. Okay, yeah, I'm doing it, and it's silly. My number one's actually going to be kind of silly.
Good.
But funny and fun. All right, so my number two pick for mechanic. So we kind of said, like, no superheroes, so this kind of falls kind of towards the superhero, but not if you want, like, Iron Man, yeah, he's a superhero, but not if he's not in his armor, he's not really,
He just happens to be a human that's really smart, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, that kind of falls in this category. I might have put her at number one, but I think that the superhero cartooniness might kind of do it. Plus, I'm not really wholly attached to this character that much, but it's just this is a fun one, and my number one's fun too, I think. But I'm picking Brigitte, not Bridget, from Overwatch.
Okay.
Now Mikey's not that familiar with Overwatch.
I know Bridget, but I don't know that there's a Brigitte. Okay, I'm learning something new.
Well, Brigitte, it's her name isn't pronounced Bridget because she's like not from the States. She's like from
Swedish or something.
Yeah.
Scandinavian.
She's Scandinavian, indeed. She is the daughter of Torbjorn, the little kind of dwarf gnomey guy. Yep. He's more like a gnome because he's a Mr. Fix-It mechanic guy. He's a weaponsmith, really, and he's got his little turret that he puts down. And this is the daughter of Torbjorn, and she is actually the squire of another character, Reinhardt. Reinhardt is Torbjorn's buddy, who's retired from Overwatch in the game. We've talked before about how Overwatch has this like insane background with comic books and all these like animated short things. And there's so much that goes into this game. I can see why it's so popular because it's more than just a competitive shooter game. I mean, the thing is too, is they have that aspect too. Overwatch is killing it in my mind as far as the, because they have a huge esports component. They have all these teams. The playoffs for the esport component of it, Overwatch League, that's probably one of the bigger ones, I would think.
That was the one that was on cable that had a whole bunch of viewers.
They've had it on network TV too.
Yeah.
It's one of the big ones, and so there's some games would just have that component and be done with it, but this has all this background, all the stories, comic books, all the stuff that goes into it, and my kids play it like crazy. I play it here and there. It's super fun.
Mm-hmm.
So the basic story of Brigitte is she's the daughter of Torbjorn, and she's the squire of Reinhardt. Reinhardt is a retired Overwatch. Overwatch is the like kind of superhero group, the Avengers of this world.
Yep.
And he's retired from Overwatch. He and Torbjorn are old, but He still has power armor that looks like a knight's armor, so he kind of acts like a knight errant and travels around Europe, righting wrongs with derring do.
Ooh, fun.
And Brigitte became his squire. Basically, she had the mechanic skills to fix his power armor because her dad had a workshop, and she was a little kid in the workshop, and she learned how to do all the mechanical stuff. And so she basically was following Reinhardt around, making sure his armor was fixed. And then secretly she built herself some power armor. And now she goes out and she's what they call a support character in Overwatch. She has healing powers and she has this cool flail and a power shield. And you know, she's like a protector. So she's in the story, she's protecting Reinhardt from getting into too much trouble because his character is just this big, brutish, hugely armored knight who just charges into the fray. You know?
I'm gonna go fix it, brah. Yeah,
yeah. There's almost a Don Quixote component to him.
I believe it. Yeah, yeah.
But so,
and that's who you want in the apocalypse is a protector. I mean, yeah.
Yes.
I see how the shield and like all the mechanical sort of power ups could be superhero esque, but that's so cool. She made him herself.
Yes, exactly. So I think she would be super fun. I mean, that's pretty much the character there. You kind of just by telling you how she's a squire, she's kind of like a, what's his name? Sancho Panza? Is that Don Quixote's squire?
Sidekick.
Yeah.
Yeah, squire. Yeah.
Yes. I always want to call it that. Wasn't there a cartoon version where he was a panda and his name was like Sancho Panda?
All I know is El Cabong. And I think that was like the donkey based on Don Quixote, but they made it Donkey Hody as opposed to.
Oh, was his squire the panda? Was
Panda? Yeah, yeah.
I think his name was Sancho Panda.
That makes sense.
I think. I don't know. Anyway, I just thought of that now. This wasn't even in my notes. I was like, oh, this is kind of a Don Quixote story because he's charging in and getting himself in trouble all the time. And she's there to get him out of it. So. Yeah. I mean, it'd be great to have an apocalypse. She can fix anything. She can build everybody power armor. She's a protector. She has healing stuff. Hey, man, it'd be great. But it's a little too superhero-y, maybe.
Kind of.
So
I'm with you, but I also get it. Because if we're in like a Fallout-style apocalypse, then the heavy armor is going to be out there, you know?
Right. This is true.
It's going to be available for her to use.
This is true.
Overwatch is one of those games that does like seasonal stuff. So like right now, aren't they doing like Halloween skins and all that kind of cool stuff?
Yeah, it's Halloween. Yeah, it's Halloween and they actually do seasonal games. And right now it's like there's this whole game you can go into. The boys were playing it yesterday with Junkenstein. and they take all the Overwatch characters and kind of Halloween them up, put Halloween skins on them.
Okay.
And you go in there and it's basically, it's PvE, but you're playing it with other people.
Yep.
And there's like zombie Omnix and there's like this crazy like ghost tornado thing that's invincible and creates problems and it gets manic and crazy and fun. And so,
but it's an apocalypse you can fight against. That's great.
Yeah.
Zombie robots, that's exactly what we're talking about. Overwatch stole my idea.
Yeah, well, no, Overwatch is a robot apocalypse.
Oh, that's right, game. That's right, yep.
So it's kind of an obvious pick. So I put it at number two because I think my number one pick, I'm going Mikey Land, I'm going Silly. So, but we want to hear Mikey's pick to see if Mikey's number one pick is Silly in Mikey Land.
It's silly, but also serious, but silly from where it comes from. But here we go. We're on to number one picks. The silly aspect is mine is pulled from a series called the Fast and the Furious series.
Well, not that silly. It's got cars in it, so there's going to be mechanics.
I would agree with you if you were talking about the first two movies, but I think they've made eight of them. And by the time you get to Fast and the Furious 8, it's like helicopters versus tanks versus submarines and silliness.
You're right. They just kept pouring energy drinks and Doritos on top of it.
Yeah.
And seeing what would happen.
To be fair, they're doing really good with power creep. They just happen to have like they've been going up and up, like because they have no choice. It's like, well, we already blew up all these buildings for the last one. Now let's blow up half the Arctic. I don't know. But
yeah.
Michelle Rodriguez as Letty Ortiz. The Spanish mechanic wife to Dominic Vin Diesel from the Fast and the Furious series.
Yes. That you can't go wrong with Mish Rod.
Oh, not at all. Michelle Rodriguez. I guess she is typecast in a lot of stuff. I think she's breaking out of it a little bit. But if you need a badass female that can fix things and punch people and get things done and also shoot a gun and drive a car, you call Michelle Rodriguez.
Yes, 100%.
So I'm picking her. She, like I said, she's the wife of the main character. She's sort of B-list in the cast, but she's been in all the movies. She has the craziest arc out of anybody. They put her in witness protection. They make her die. She comes back to life. She goes underground and infiltrates gangs to get back to her family. She uses harpoon guns to take out people. She saves people with cars. There's the movies are so ridiculous, but within that, everything she does is just all the superpowers I want at the end of the world with the apocalypse. Like, nothing ever goes wrong when she does it. So please be on my team and just make it go.
Oh, man. That's good, man. That's a near perfect pick for if you're looking for a female mechanic who can handle anything.
Yep.
That's one.
And my team is getting a little dude heavy, so I had to sort of lean, you know, got to have some feminine energy in there, you know, just to lighten things up. Because it is the end of the world. I don't want it to be just jocks and meatheads that are like, we're doing it my way. No, we're doing it this way. Michelle Rodriguez is going to be like, this is the best way to do it. And they're going to be like, okay.
I agree, and that's probably why you've noticed my past two were female, and so is my third one. Or my first one. Counting backwards, counting forwards, which way you want to count.
Yep.
Anyway, this is kind of silly, and I was going to go number one Brigitte, but like you said, it had to be a real specific apocalyptic world, and yes. I'm trying to keep it more like, these are just people, and technically she's just a people, but not really.
Yep.
Like, all the characters are so cartoony in Overwatch, none of them seem like real people. And this is from another video game, and this video game is kind of cartoony. And I've been talking about it too much, and it's all Mikey's fault because I've been playing with my kids.
I knew what
but
it is.
This is hilarious, and the reason why I picked this character is because this character reminds me of someone I knew when I was going to school in Georgia. So, from Borderlands 2, I picked the mechanic Ellie, who runs Ellie's garage out in the dust.
I love it because it's a Borderlands pick, but I also love it because it reminds you of somebody from your past life. I want to hear this. That's awesome.
Yes. So the Borderlands world doesn't, there's no like aliens really, and everyone's human based pretty much.
Yep.
Or mutated humans. So
mutated or enhanced with, you know,
yeah,
robotics and all that stuff.
So that's why I think this is okay, even though it's set in space in the future. But
if it's a robot apocalypse, there's going to be some villains and we're going to steal some of their technology. That's how apocalypse works.
So you find out, spoilers for if you haven't played Borderlands 2, take your drink. But this stuff revealed as you play the game through. So Ellie she's in the dust, which is one of the areas of Borderlands. And she has a mechanic shop and a junkyard. And you meet her through her brother, Scooter, who is
wait, really? Is, wait, there's really a character called, I forgot about that. There's a character called Scooter in Borderlands? That's amazing.
Yeah, Scooter. He's in Sanctuary. He's in the shop in Sanctuary. He maintains Sanctuary's like flight system that it has, and he runs the catcher eyes.
That's
he
right.
The catcher eyes.
I'm just making the connection now between
that's the voice where he's like, hey, welcome to catcher eyes. You gonna go ride?
Sounds you like know? Our friend Scooter Shabazz. It fits.
So Scooter and Ellie are brother and sister, and they're both the children of Mad Moxie, who runs Moxie's, which is also in Sanctuary. And the backstory is really simple. I mean, they just grew up out in the dust, and Moxie went to Sanctuary because that's where it's called Sanctuary. That's where people go to be safe from the insanity of the Borderlands. And Ellie likes to eat and has a very large figure, I guess you'd call it.
I get it.
And Mad Moxie, she's more of a cheesecake type of girl, not eating it, looking it, if you know what I'm saying.
Yep. Pin-up sort of madame, yes. Sort of looking, yeah.
Yeah, and her daughter Ellie got sick of her telling her to stop eating so much, so she moved back out to the dust.
Okay.
That's basically how it goes. Because she tells you at one point, people like a big lady out in the dust. So. And her and Scooter both have this kind of thick country southeast accent.
Yep.
And the reason why I'm picking it is because so she's a mechanic. She can fix anything.
Mm-hmm.
She's crafty. She's basically is starting a gang war between these two rival gangs that you get involved in. And she does stuff like where this gang war is to her benefit because the vehicles, these are like kind of Mad Maxy type gangs, basically.
Yep, yep.
And they have these vehicles and helicopters, like in Mad Max, that they fight each other in. The bandits, as they call them, bandit technicals, and they get destroyed in their battles. So the pieces go to her junkyard. So then she puts them back together and sells them back to them. So it's in her best interest that they keep fighting all the time.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter which side wins. She's still in business. I love it.
Exactly. So that's kind of what some of the missions you do for her is to keep that fight going.
Oh, I love it.
So anyway, crafty. But like I said, I went to school in Georgia and I worked at a museum. It was a mansion museum that I gave tours of.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people I worked with was a local girl, and she had almost the exact same accent as Ellie and had the same kind of down home talking that Ellie did, and had the same kind of the whole kind of, you know, like some men like a big girl type of thing. That's something that I swear came out of both the mouth of this character on a video game and this person I knew in real life.
It's the Savannah, so, Georgia Peach, bless her heart.
Yeah. So and in real life, this woman was a great character. And if you're going to say, like, make her a mechanic and put her in the bunker with you, it'd be a good time.
Yeah.
You know, because not only would she be able to fix up things, but there's these homespun stories and stuff like, you know, I once knew this old man who did this and that and the other thing. I know the man who invented the dust they put on Doritos, you know, stuff like, okay.
I once fit a catalytic converter with a piece from a cow and a piece from my neighbor's backyard. It was the strangest time.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I love that type of character, yeah.
Yeah, so that's when we're playing that game, and the more you're interacting with that Ellie character, I'm like, this is the person I know this person. You're like, I know this person.
That's great.
So that's why I'm picking Ellie. It just reminds me of someone I did spend some time with and wouldn't mind hearing some of those crazy stories.
I get you.
There's that good old country thing you get sometime where they'll learn, like, I don't know if... So there's this awesome Southern, like, people call it homespun, but it is that the people in the South are so much better, no offense to everyone else, at telling you stories and information.
Yes.
Because they just add flavor on it and spin to it. And sometimes you're halfway like, I don't know if this is true, but I don't care. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah. They have a 10-minute story about how they learned how to fix something. And you're like, you could have learned that from a book, but your way sounds way more interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm with you. It's kind of the same qualities that Kaylee has as well from Firefly.
You're right. You're right.
And it's a character in sci-fi, but it is a character in, like, anytime somebody gets stranded, like, out of their element, there's usually that good old boy or good old woman repairman that's going to be like, well, I'm going to give it to you straight. Things are kind of in the crapper, and they're real bad, and it's going to take about 3 weeks to get you out of this problem, but there's a place across the street that serves ice cream, so go get yourself a scoop. We'll get you fixed up in no time. Like,
exactly.
It is that Southern hospitality, good old boy. I love it. I'm on board with that sort of character.
And that's the thing. She lives out in the dust. That's the thing that makes her up on Kaylee. She lives out in the dust in the Borderlands, which is this Mad Max area of Borderlands. And between these two gangs that are constantly fighting, and she can handle herself. So anyone who lives in outside of Sanctuary and Borderlands, and even a lot of people who live inside of Sanctuary and Borderlands, every NPC, none of them you think are, like, incapable of defending themselves.
Yeah.
So I'm quite sure, like, whereas Kaylee was kind of scared to be holding a gun, I think if you gave Ellie a gun, it would be, like, go time.
Yeah, especially in Borderlands world, because, like you're saying, everybody seems to be prepared for anything to go sideways at all times.
Yes, yes.
But I'm glad you guys are playing it and enjoy it. Oh, that's such a fun game.
It is.
Especially since that game is like kind of like what we're doing on our podcast. There's Rick and Morty references. There's Back to the Future references. Like, all the stuff we're pulling from, you can find those jokes in Borderlands.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so crazy.
The Warhammer 40,000 references of all things.
Of all things. But that means there's nerds making that game with love. So.
Yeah, exactly. So those are our mechanics.
Yes.
And like we said, this is the penultimate one. So next week, what's our last one?
We have first responders, EMT, somebody first that can stitch us up, patch us up.
give us that morphine or the blood transfusion that we need, all that good stuff.
Yes. Awesome. Okay. That's a critical one.
It is.
Yes.
That's our healer. I need healing. Come on.
Yes.
I need healing.
I keep saying I need healing, but no one's coming to heal me. This team stinks. Sorry. I just went into like Overwatch mode there. Whatever FPS game you play that has multiplayer on it.
Yep. The healer's always needed and never where they are where they're needed.
Yeah. Unless, man, I'll tell you what, though. When you're playing games and you have a good healer on your team, you'll feel invincible.
Well, that's why we need to make good picks for healers for our team, because that's how crucial it is.
It is. So we're done with the list, but also our pizza is here.
Hooray.
And so that means it's the end of our podcast. We really hope you enjoyed hearing our picks. We want to hear your picks because we enjoy that too. So you can hit us up at Assuming Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also Gmail us if you want to say something longer in letter form.
Ooh, write us a letter, yeah.
Yeah, write us in the style of like Ken Burns' Civil War. That's how we prefer his, my dearest Mike and Kevin.
I was thinking long and hard about my picks for the team for the end of the world, and here's what I came to. Yeah, and we'll get, yeah, well, Morgan Freeman will narrate it. It'll be great.
Anyway, send that to assumingphysicians@gmail.com. We want to thank you so much for listening. Like I said, we've had really good numbers. Thank you for sharing this. Please continue to share. Go ahead and whatever you listed it on, find the thing that lets you rate it and give us that 5-star thumbs up, whatever the highest rating is. We really, really appreciate that. That helps us out tons and tons in this time where we can't get out to conventions and meet everyone and expand that way. So we want to thank you so much for listening. We also want to thank that guy, Brad, for doing our announcing, Not Scott Productions for our equipment, and Jazzar for doing our music. Everybody, we hope you have a great week. And if you need anything fixed, make sure you find a good down-home mechanic who will fix it for you while you go eat some ice cream across the street.
Bring it in the shop. We'll get it done.
Everyone in a
lean, you know, got to have some feminine.